Now, when our next guest was 11, she went on a holiday to the NASA Research Center in Cleveland, Ohio. And since then, she has been doing everything in her power to get into space. And she's nearly there. She could be Ireland's first astronaut. It is Dr. Nora Patton. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm mighty. How are you guys?
We're great. Proud Mayo woman?
Exactly.
Yeah. Are you going to finally bring Sam home this year?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how many times I've been asked that.
Oh, Jesus. Sorry, Sean is moving a microphone there, but he literally punched Nora in the nose with it. Sean, not one for delicateness there, Sean.
It's okay. I'll be okay.
What an amazing journey you've been on, because you spent a lot of time in NASA. You've done loads of very specific training. Are you optimistic about getting into space?
I am. And honestly, as the years go by, I'm more and more optimistic. Like, I often say to people, you have to put it in perspective. Like, when I was 11, growing up in Mayo, 1990s Ireland, this was absolutely impossible.
Yeah.
But it's very much changed the past. Even the past 5 years, we've more commercial people, more commercial companies getting involved, more commercial launches.
Because isn't that a major problem with space exploration in general, that, and I suppose science funding, that like governments, there was a race to the moon, and
yes,
that you know, it accelerated everything that was around that, and people got into space, people got into orbit, people got out of orbit, people then got to the moon, like all this stuff happened. And then it kind of seemed like, oh, well, that's kind of the end of that now, you know, and we've sent probes off and we've done loads of other amazing things. But the idea of humanity, you know, out of our planet has kind of dwindled since the 60s, really.
I think in the past few years, it's really kicked off again.
Mm.
Like, they retired the space shuttle in 2011. And I remember being back in Kennedy Space Center in 2012, and there was nothing happening, you know, compared to what you see nowadays. SpaceX is launching from there. So it's very much taken off again. Excuse the pun.
And do you think then that the kind of people like Elon Musk and, say, Jeff Bezos from Amazon, who's also funding kind of space flight research, do you think their presence is going to help people like you get into space?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've no doubt. So SpaceX is an interesting one because they are now contracted to do work with NASA. So, you know, NASA fund them to do launches.
Gotcha.
Blue Origin, Jeff Bezos, is privately funded. So thankfully, we have these very wealthy people putting a lot of money into space flight that will hopefully, you know, pay off financially for them over the next few years with commercial launches. So,
yeah.
I mean, for me as an Irish person, even going through the European Space Agency astronaut, I don't think that for my generation, that's a possibility. I think it'll be the next generation again.
Really?
I think so. Just with where we're at in terms of our funding and that.
Yeah.
So my real hope is with the commercial launches.
So Blue Origin, the Amazon owner's pet project, is this, you think, your ticket, and which could make you our first astronaut?
I hope so. That's really, I think with the progress they've made over the past 2 years, I think I've tried to push every side of it that I can. And even the program that I do in the US, Project Possum, they have very good links with the commercial companies. Like, we get to do work with the commercial company making a spacesuit for NASA.
And so, you've tested spacesuits, haven't you?
Yeah, it's class, actually. When you put them on, they're quite claustrophobic, and it's the IVA suit, so it's the one you wear inside the vehicle. So the thing is, once these commercial launches start to go, we'll have done all of this testing and training.
Okay.
So we'll be,
you're,
you know,
top of
familiar.
The queue.
I hope so. Well, I hope so for Ireland anyway. I'd absolutely love to get up and fly the flag. So yeah that's really
amazing.
I'll keep going. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I love when people get a life dream early and then do everything in their power to pursue it, even if it never actually happens. Like, the fact that you were 11 when you first kind of experienced this,
yeah,
and here you are now, like, you're a scientist, you're a doctor, you're fully trained, and you're really physically fit as well in order to be ready for space travel.
Yeah, I think, like, I've always liked sports. Even growing up, I did competitive gymnastics, I have national titles, so I was always kind of sports oriented. So I think I would have continued on that, even disregarding the space thing.
But
I think, and I actually think the impact of me having shared and you guys haven't tweeted it has been so positive, because schools and teachers and kids and parents and, you know, so many people have contacted me, and it's been unbelievable to see the impact that has had on young people in Ireland, the letters, the drawings I get, it's been like so much more fantastic than I could have planned.
Well, it's like the 4 minute mile, you know, famously when that barrier was broken, loads of other runners suddenly started breaking the 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So for you to, you know, for especially for kids to see, you know, an Irish woman who's so close, you know, to actually getting into space, but actually doing all the official training, all that, you're making it a reality for people. So it's going to become their normal.
I hope so. I really hope so, because people have asked, like, who were my kind of heroes growing up, and I kind of thought probably Superman when I was in national school, because there was just not the visibility then. You know? So I think technology and internet has so much power in that sense of enabling everybody to see what's going on in the world and have that visibility of people going into space. You can watch launches and all of that. So I actually think the visibility of lots of different people doing lots of different things is so important for kids.
Let's talk about the kids, because Project Possum have been running a special competition for secondary students who normally don't get access to this kind of technology. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so very, very excited about this one. Last October, with Project Possum, we did parabolic flights. So they're the weightless flights where you float weightless for about 15 seconds.
What's that long? 15 seconds?
15 seconds, yeah.
Which you have done.
Quicker.
Yes, yeah. We did them in October at the National Research Council.
Do you not just want to throw up?
So that was the most thing I was worried about, because I thought we're spending months preparing to go on this, and I was like, oh no, am I going to be sick? But
yeah, and then you have to float around with it for 15 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to increase the shame.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what was it like?
Thankfully I felt great. Like, I didn't feel sick at all, but it was absolutely amazing. I mean, it's just such a different experience. We're so used to Earth and our environment here. Once you take gravity away and everything starts to float, it's just amazing. You know, I just think it gives you a perspective that we're so developed for Earth rather than for space, which is why the body adapts, you know.
And not just, you know, things like biros floating around beside it. It's our organs.
Absolutely.
You know, our organs aren't used to just sort of floating around in their cavities. It has and how our blood operates and everything, you know, how the oxygen, how the gases in our bodies react, everything changes.
Or even how plants grow or anything.
Exactly, interestingly with the plants. So we ran this competition with the Irish Composite Centre where I work, and with Project Possum we did a partnership and offered Irish teenagers an opportunity to design an experiment to fly on the flights this October. Mm. So the winning team is from Skerries Community College, and they have developed an experiment to look at water mist absorption for growing crops.
Okay.
So we'll be able to film the whole thing and see how the water moves and mists around. And we've a lot of work to do the next few weeks to get it ready. But
and is this with an eye to growing things in space?
Yeah,
and to see how they would be able to absorb water and nutrients?
Exactly. So, like, obviously at the moment everything is shipped to the space station, you know, but as we go to the moon and go further afield, we need to look at how we can actually become more sustainable off Earth. So, and rather than shipping everything.
You really are inspiring people. Do you remember there was a teenager we spoke to on the show called Mary from Cork?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And Mary had heard you and was interested in space and whatever, and she has, like, won stuff and been selected by NASA to go over. She went over and had a big, like, tour of Kennedy Space Center and everything.
That was all
based on, you know, like, her hearing you with us.
Oh, it's mad. Like, I've kept in touch with her on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've been trying to plan to meet for the past few months.
Oh, brilliant. That'd be great for her.
We're going to catch up. But hello, Mary, if you're listening.
I'm sure she must be, yeah.
Yeah, because it's something that never leaves you. And it's so great to see someone like yourself really, you know, at the coalface of it, at the cutting edge of all this technology and the big adventure that's happening, as you say, with big backers, you know. Because I was in Kennedy Space Center last year, and it was the first time I was ever there. And there's a big moment where they reveal the original space shuttle Discovery is hanging from the ceiling. And, you know, I remember watching those takeoffs and landings on TV when I was a kid in the 80s. And to see it there, it you know, reignited everything. So I think for everybody, there's, and every human, there's always something inside us that gets ignited every time you talk about space travel or space in general.
Yeah, it seems to be one of those things, doesn't it, that just ignites a spark in people's eyes when they say about space.
Yeah,
yeah. So you're right. That's an amazing experience when they pull back the curtains and there it is.
Yeah, because you think you're watching it on a TV on a giant screen.
Yeah,
but then the screen just goes sort of see through, and you realize. Mm. Oh my God, it's actually there. It's in front of me.
Wow.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
Well, look, Dr. Nora Patton, we're hopeful that you will be our first astronaut. Have you put a year, possibly? Like, are you thinking 2024, 2028? Like, is there...
I'll have to ask Blue Origin when they'll have
Jeff
my seat.
I'll ring Jeffy after the show. I know him well, yeah.
Send him your measurements. This is the seat you need to fit me in the craft.
Well, look, we hope that it is you that is chosen. We hope that you get to go. And maybe after Trump's declaration, he's going to put a woman on the moon in 2024. That could be you as well.
I doubt that, but...
Yeah, look, you know, let's hope for anything.
American,
probably. But listen, thanks for dropping in, and best luck with everything. Stay in touch with us, and
I will,
keep us up to date.
People can obviously follow your progress on @SpaceNora.
Space Nora, yeah.
Yeah. And is there a website where, you know, if there are parents of kids, are people listening who just want to get involved and maybe think, you know what, I think that could be the career path for me. Where should people go and start to look?
Oh, there's actually so many resources. I think like the NASA website and the ESA, the European Space Agency website, has very good resources in terms of even activities that teachers can do in class.
Oh, cool.
With kids. So I'd certainly start with them. They have good free resources available.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. Dr. Nora Patton, thanks so much for coming and chatting to us.
Thanks a million.
Cheers. Dermot and Dave on Today FM.